Hi, and welcome to the Loopcast. So today we're going to change things up, and we weren't able to get the guest for today, Thomas Ridd, for his book, Cyber War Will Not Take Place. It's a great book, and so today I'm just going to do sort of a short 20-30 minute review of the book and sort of go through some of its major points and, you know, and sort of critique it towards the end. So Thomas Ridd's book, it starts with the idea that, you know, as explained in the beginning, Dr. Ridd makes this argument that cyber war has never happened in the past. It does not occur in the present, and highly unlikely that it will disturb our future. And that's sort of the premise of the whole book, is that, you know, cyber war as something that happens doesn't really happen. And so he basically says that really what has been considered cyber war is really cyber warfare. That it's, you know, it's what he argues is that it's, you know, cyber warfare, and really cyber is described in the book is, you know, one of many methods of waging war that, you know, is principally unchanged. And he sort of, you know, pulls these three threads out of sabotage, espionage, and subversion. And he goes through the rest of the book and sort of defines it and picks apart these ideas. Now, with that being said, I mean, I think the book is very well written. It's not, I mean, you know, for any of its sort of intellectual flaws, Thomas Ridd is very good at writing and very good at laying out a case systematically. And it's, you know, it's rather short, and it's about 200, 300 pages, but he does make the point that, you know, what we're witnessing is warfare, not actual war, that it's, you know, elements of a larger political and strategic state as opposed to it, you know, hacking and, you know, some, you know, and cyber becoming, you know, higher, you know, becoming war itself. You know, he uses a lot of evidence, and he and it's very well argued, and he it's certainly, and I think maybe this is one of the goals of the book, is that he certainly dilutes the amount of fear of FUD, of fear, uncertainty, and doubt out of the cyber debate. It's certainly, you know, I almost picture Thomas Ridd, you know, giving a stern glance and saying no, you know, towards a lot of sort of, you know, how the debate, how the cyber debate is structured, and how, you know, politically we go after and sort of understand what is cyber warfare, what is, you know. Now, I mean, I think with that being said, I think, you know, there's two major flaws of the book, you know, and it's, they don't necessarily detract from the rest of the book, but it's, it becomes apparent when you read the book that these are, you know, pertinent flaws. And one of them is sort of the focus, you know, the audience of the book is really a DC audience. And what I mean by DC audience is it's policymakers, you know, and people who, and sort of the populate, you know, sort of addressing the popular understanding of, you know, what has been called cyber war. You know, and definitely I would consider the audience not to be technical or strategic. It's not how to hack or how to become a better hacker or sort of how to draw information out of a system more efficiently. It's about politics. It's about the political definition of this form of conflict. And, you know, with that being said, I mean, you know, the way he writes and the way he focuses and frames his argument, you know, the way he lays out this case is that he focuses on very popular topics that would sort of pop out at the, you know, at politicians, at think tank, and sort of popular understandings. I mean, a lot of his evidence brings up Flame, Dooku, Stuxnet, WikiLeaks. I think he mentions Occupy Wall Street, and definitely hacking sort of SCADA, the control systems and whatnot. And, you know, I think to a degree this might be considered a flaw, but I mean, you know, I mean, maybe the larger intent of the work was to sort of influence politics around, you know, how we define cyber war and how we go about, you know, addressing conflict. It's being waged, conflict and espionage and sabotage and whatever, being waged through, you know, computer networks and data networks. I mean, you know, while I was doing research for the, sort of scripting out the this review, you know, I came upon this Mike Rogers quote. Mike Rogers is the head of the House Intelligence Committee. And he says that, quote, this is, you know, we're in a cyber war today. Most Americans don't know it. They go about their lives happily, but we are in cyber war today. And it's really interesting that somebody at the Intelligence Committee would call it cyber war. And I think when you pair that quote and you pair it with Ridd's writing, and so how he sort of goes about saying, well, there is no real thing as a cyber war, because, you know, you can read the book and sort of get more details, but he you know, there is, you know, computers don't wage war. Hacking is not war. Code is not weapons, right? Because there is no violence associated with computers. And really what you're seeing, you know, as I stated in the beginning, is a matter of sabotage, espionage, and sort of subversion. Now, with that being said, I mean, I think one of the bigger flaws, I thought, was this, you know, if you consider the cyber war will not take place as a political work and sort of designed to, you know, knock out some of the FUD out of the debate. I thought, you know, what could have helped was sort of reorienting the spotlight upon, you know, larger trends in society. And, you know, the idea that, you know, in that way, I found Ridd's arguments, you know, it's very static, because it's very much, not only is it focused on these political arguments, you know, and a lot of the fear and a lot of the FUD that comes with the cyber debate, but, you know, because of the tight focusing and tight framing, it's very static. You know, he's only focused on these sort of famous cases and why that's not war, on SCADA, FLAME, Dooku, Stuxnet, and why that's not war, instead of saying that, well, you know, in a world where you sort of, you know, there's this trend of everything becoming integrated with data, with networks, with automation, you know, would this also at the same time, this deepening of these networks into individual lives, community lives, you know, state lives, does that also make the reach of sabotage, subversion, espionage deeper? You know, does that, you know, in some ways, it's still not war. I agree with Ridd on that point, totally on that point. But it's, does sabotage, espionage, and subversion look differently when these networks are so deep into people's lives? And so what I mean is, you know, let me sort of walk back and say that, you know, if the depth of these networks, right, it's just not a matter of exploitation of individual computers or a series of individual computers. So think like a botnet or, you know, hacking of corporations, not just one computer in a corporation, but multiple computer servers, whatnot. You know, if you go from exploitation of individual computers and exploitation of individual computers and concatenating them with other exploited devices, and you move to more systematic issues that you know, computers, data, the movement of data is so integrated into individuals' lives, you know, does the sort of subversion, sabotage, and espionage that Ridd lays out take on a different meaning? And this is what I sort of thought that, you know, Ridd would have sort of benefited from. It's sort of expanding and sort of looking at the future, you know. Instead, he very sort of, this is what I mean by static analysis, is that it's very much framed and focused on the now and not about, you know, what will happen in the future. And so, to sort of flesh out my argument more, I mean, you know, it still wouldn't be war. I don't think you know, when exploiting somebody's data or exploiting a, you know, when exploiting a traffic network, or when I say traffic network, I don't mean, you know, routers, I mean actual cars, trucks, etc., or exploiting, you know, shipping lanes. You know, does this sort of elevate sabotage? You know, in the book, you know, if I remember correctly, Ridd does focus on Stuxnet and say, well, this is a case of, you know, very focused sabotage and very focused, you know, the Stuxnet was built around 0 days that were in, you know, known to be in that particular Iranian plant at Natanz. Fair enough. But, you know, very much, I mean, that was an isolated incident that, you know, and I do agree with Ridd on that. You know, it was isolated and focused just on Iran. But again, you know, if you were to sort of build an argument from that, Natanz is, you know, further isolated and alienated from sort of, you know, Iran as a social, as a digital system, as a social, financial, and then digital system, right? So what happens, again, let me re-ask this question, what happens when you switch to, you know, you're just not focusing on individual isolated plants or individual isolated systems, but you start going after, you know, traffic, you know, networks, and you start, you know, and the concern isn't the individual exploitation of computers and systems, but rather, you know, looking at a digital and more social, you know, a more economic and social effect. So, you know, to develop this point further, you know, for instance, if you draw out this line, instead of moving to a more sort of dynamic way of thinking about networks, and you say that as an individual, you can't build your life, you cannot build a successful life without at some point entering data on a computer or having your financial life stored somewhere. You know, if you think about it, right, you know, the banking system, social security, credit is all into a network. You cannot build a personal life without, you know, producing data and producing bits and bytes that are in the charge of somebody else, right? From that, you can say, you can also argue that as a community, really, you know, if you were to layer on Facebook, Twitter, cell phones, and then you go up to the state level, right? State's records, legal records, everything. And then you go up to the nation state level. And it's, you know, it's, you're concatenating all these systems of digital, social, and economic behavior that, you know, and it's this trend that this is all becoming digital and networked, right? So by having Ridd build his argument on such a framed and focused idea, instead of saying, well, you know, the trend is that maybe we should stop looking at individual exploitation of computers or concatenation of exploited computers, but rather look at, you know, how an adversary or an attacker could, you know, attack systems. So digital plus social plus financial. You know, and I'm sort of would be interested in seeing, you know, how Ridd would respond to the idea of, you know, the Experian hack that happened about a month ago, right? It was somebody was able to get Experian to sell them huge chunks of personal data. And now Experian, if you're in the tax and legal world, it is one of the credit agencies, I believe, right? So they have access to your social security number, your credit score, and all the deep and personal stuff that you really don't want, you know, a gang of, you know, hackers in Thailand to know. You know, I'd be curious, I mean, from that data, from that 1.2 million files that these hackers were able to get, I mean, you know, how will that hack proceed? I mean, yeah, there's no physical violence, but then again, it's, you know, the idea that becomes that sabotage sabotage and espionage become, you know, from isolated incidences, from isolated and alienated incidences to scale to potentially 1.2 million people, right? And, you know, going further, I mean, I would have loved to see how sort of RID would deal with the idea of that increasingly, you know, it's not just the internet of everything, you know, attaching your coffee maker to the internet or attaching your refrigerator to the internet. It's, you know, everything is dependent on networks and data exchange now. It's nothing is really alien or, you know, nothing is really isolated. And it's not just a matter of SCADA, it's a matter of traffic and shipping networks. You know, as much as I would commend RID, Thomas RID, for taking the FUD out of the cyber debate, he only takes the FUD is able to successfully sort of deflate, you know, arguments based largely on the construction of cyber war, you know, a very static understanding and construction of cyber war. But, you know, I think we're sort of approaching the end of this sort of rant, review, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's ultimately a good book. I mean, it's well written, well constructed, and he does what he sets out to do. And, you know, if you're into cyber policy beyond the Loopcast, I would probably, you know, I would suggest that you read it because it does certainly get you thinking and sort of makes you think about, you know, the state of cybersecurity and politics and whatnot. So thanks for listening, and, you know, thanks.